Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this life there are lots of things we can follow. There are lots of examples before us. But Lord, we know there is only one truth. There is only one Savior. Lord, as we go through this life, may we keep our eyes, our hearts, and our minds firmly fixed on your Son, Jesus, as an example of how to live in a way that is pleasing to you. We pray this in his name. Amen. In the world today, in your life, how do you handle opposition and conflict? So I thought a lot about this question over the past couple weeks, and I realize I'm not real comfortable with conflict. Like most people of sound mind, I like to avoid it. I don't look for disagreement. I don't like to find people that oppose me and bring difficulty and strife into my life. No, you and I, we prefer a peaceful existence. We like calm. We like ordinary days, and maybe a little boring. There's no trouble. But opposition and conflict have a way of sneaking into our lives, don't they? On a regular basis, we face it. So this morning, we heard Peter's letter to the early Christian church. He was writing to this church that was still very new, and yet they were already facing their full measure of conflict. So this letter was written somewhere around the year 67, so 30-some-odd years since Christ's death and resurrection. So we see that opposition and conflict have strong historical roots. Just look at our Lord Jesus, the very object of our faith. From his first breath to his last breath, he faced opposition and conflict. And then the Christian church, us today, 2,000 plus years later, we're still facing adversity. We're still trying to stand firm in God's word and professing Christ Jesus as Lord as conflict just comes from all over the place. Now, our Lord Jesus tells us in the scriptures, the world's going to hate you because of me. The world's going to hate you because you follow me. So this conflict, this opposition is no real surprise to us. In fact, we should expect it, right? If the Lord Jesus said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So back to my original question, as a Christian today, as you are standing firm in God's word and you are professing Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, how do you handle conflict and opposition that arrives at your doorstep? So we can kind of answer that in a lot of different ways, right? First way, an obvious way, is we can fight fire with fire. We can respond to sin with equal measure of sin. Get back at him. Second option is we could just head out the back door. We see it coming, we run from it, and we hide from it. Third option is we could fold. We could give in. The world says go that way, we go that way. The world says be like this, and we be like that. That's easy for me to ask this question right here, but when we're put into a pinch, in a tight spot, this is a really, really hard question to answer, and to answer it according to God's word. It's very, very challenging. But there's a fourth option that Peter wrote about. You can stand firm in the Christian faith and willingly suffer unjustly for it. When facing unjustified conflict and opposition as Christians today, our Lord God calls us to respectfully, graciously, and lovingly remain faithful to his word and Christ Jesus as Lord. Now in this letter, Peter spoke about specifically about suffering unjustly. Suffering unjustly, you do some kind of good and you get some kind of negative hate in return. It's not warranted, it's not necessary, but yet you feel it firsthand. And Peter said specifically, but if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. When you stand firm in the faith and endure, this is a pleasing thing, an acceptable thing in the sight of God. But to our human minds, this seems counterintuitive, right? I do good and I get punished for it? Doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't sound appealing to us. Yet Peter said very specifically, this is pleasing to God. Now, if we just took this piece of text, just these few sentences we read this morning, we took it out into the world, onto the streets to someone who had no context of the gospel, They would hear that and they'd think, man, God's pretty messed up. He's pleased with my suffering? But no, God's not necessarily pleased with the sin and the hate that's coming towards you. He's pleased with you standing firm in the faith. Because there's a bigger picture story embedded here, isn't there? Peter gives us some clarity in verse 21. He said, "For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." Our Lord Jesus was perfect, yet he died on a cross. His life and his death provide the peak example of unjustified suffering for us. You can read every single word in the four Gospels, word for word, and you won't find one single moment where Jesus sinned. Peter echoed this in verse 22. He, Jesus, committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. In other words, when he was hated, he didn't hate back. When he suffered, he didn't seek revenge. He didn't respond to sin with sin. He didn't run out the back door and hide from it. He didn't bend and start going the way of the world. No, our Lord Jesus, when facing conflict and opposition, he stood firm in the faith, respectfully, graciously, lovingly, because that is what God called him to do. And God looked at his life, his death, and his resurrection. He saw it as good. He saw it as good because of what it accomplished. His life, perfect fulfillment of God's law. Not once did he break a command. And then his death, the greatest sacrifice known to man, paid the penalty for sin, for your sin, for my sin, so that as we sit and stand here today, we have God's love and God's forgiveness, all on account of what he did for us. Yeah, today we are at rest, we're at peace, we're forgiven. If our life ends in 5 minutes, we know where we're going. We have eternal life through our faith in Christ. The two most precious things in the world, God's forgiveness and God's promise of eternal life, we have those on account of what Jesus did for us, on account of his suffering. And in that blessed state, God says, okay, now go live by the example that Christ set for you. Conflict and opposition are going to come. Guaranteed, bet the farm on it. It's going to happen. God tells us that when that trouble hits, we are to stand firm in the faith. We are to be humble. We are to be respectful. We are to actually be kind to those who hate us because we follow Jesus. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. He was humble. He was respectful. He was kind, loving, and gracious to those who hated him for being him. When he was hanging on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." The ones that were driving the nails through him, he prayed for their well-being. God calls us to be faithful to his commands. He calls us to love others as he loves us, to forgive others as he forgives us. We're to mirror the example Jesus set. In verse 24, Peter said this, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. He took our punishment so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." This is God saying, be different. Don't be like the hateful, sinful, broken world around you that's trying to pull you away from Christ. Instead, be like the Lord Jesus that by God's Spirit dwells within you. And know this, God doesn't give this tall order, give you a little pat on the back and say good luck, and then kind of watches from around the corner to see how it all plays out. No, his Holy Spirit dwells within us through the gift of baptism, and he goes with us in this. We have a fighting chance to actually live by the way Christ set because God's Spirit lives within us. It's His very Holy Spirit that dwells within us that makes us different. And notice what Peter said in verse 23 when he was talking about how Jesus endured, how he endured in this righteousness. He said, Christ remained steadfast by entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Jesus, when he was on this earth in his earthly ministry, he entrusted himself to God amidst all the hatred, all the persecution, all the pain. When he was nearly beaten to death, he entrusted himself to God. When those spikes were smashed through his hands and his feet, he entrusted himself to God. And when he took his last breath on that nasty cross, he entrusted himself to God. We respond to God's calling to live in this different way, in this righteous way, by entrusting ourselves to God. We go to God in prayer every single day for His Holy Spirit to give us the humility, the courage, the confidence. We pray that God's Holy Spirit would fill us with the ability to love and forgive, because by our own nature, we can't do it. We entrust ourselves fully to Him to live as the example our Lord Jesus set. I want to leave you with this final thought. When we remain steadfast in the Christian faith, even amidst persecution and hatred and slander and all kinds of hardship, it not only pleases God, but it also provides an incredible witness to the world at just who God is. It shines a light on the gospel that makes it incredibly appealing to the world around us. If we just respond to hate with hate, we just blend in, look like the rest of the crowd. If we just respond to sin with more sin, we just become another hateful voice of noise in the world, and we already have far too much of that. But when we mirror Christ, when we follow the example He lives, we are shining His light into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, into our schools, into the gym, into the ball field, everywhere we go. And here's the beautiful thing, that when we do that, God just might use us to plant a seed in the life of someone lost, someone walking in darkness, someone who has yet to come to this beautiful grace and forgiveness that we have from God. And that's ultimately what we're after, right? That all may come to know, that all may come to profess faith in our Lord Jesus. So go about the vocations God has given you. They're blessings. Go about them, and go about them in peace. Why? Because you're forgiven. You're loved. You have God's promise of eternal life. But when adversity hits, pray to God, cling to His Holy Spirit, that you may mirror the way of our Lord Jesus and maybe, just maybe, lead another person to life-saving faith that we have in our Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's no mystery to you that we live in a world that is so difficult and broken. Lord, every day there's conflict and trouble coming our way on account of following your Son. But Lord, there simply is no other way than to follow your Son, because it's in your Son that we have forgiveness. We have eternal life. We have peace with you. The greatest gifts we could ever receive, we have received through your Son, Jesus. Lord, as we return to the world later today and go about our week, give us strength. By your Holy Spirit, give us confidence to stand firm. And when you deem worthy, Lord, to lovingly and respectfully share your word with the world around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.